And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. It is Friday, June 23rd, 2017. This broadcast is brought to you by, our fine friends. Joe, I want you to introduce our fine friends there.
Yeah, this tonight's show is brought to you by Portable Solar LLC.com.
Right.
Portable Solar LLC.com. You're going to hear more about them later.
Yeah.
State-of-the-art solar equipment, able to cut back on the electricity and depend more on the power of the sun with solar energy. More on that later.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that. I really appreciate that. And the reason I asked you to do that is because he was studying all of this all day with respect
studying
to the, we're doing the research on it. A lot of news to get into today. I was earlier this week when I appeared on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, we were talking, or he had asked me to weigh in on the attack in at the Flint, Michigan airport. And I had gotten some additional information today. Of course, there appears to be more of an integration. And we're getting information now. There's more of an integration between the Muslim Brotherhood interests and local mosques. We found this out two different ways. One from a source that works with terrorism inside the Department of Homeland Security, as well as the fragments, or I would say fragments of the investigation from Flint, Michigan, the stabbing there, although it was a so-called lone wolf terrorist attack. There is a network, of course, of enforcement or reinforcement for such people. I just want to keep draw people's attention to this, because this is not going to get any better, of course. And there is this really interesting dynamic that's playing out within the Christian community, where there appears to be this acquiescence by the Christian evangelicals, or at least some of them, to accept or to reach out to the Muslim community, even work side by side with them to their own peril. And this is something that we have to watch on a local level. And I think it's being understated and underreported. So I want to bring that out, the Muslim Brotherhood activity here within the United States. And of course, that goes hand in hand to the Huma Abedin, relationship of Huma Abedin to Hillary Rodham Clinton. And again, folks, I believe this is important enough to really kind of lead off with this. Huma Abedin, don't forget, her father, Syed Abedin, and mother, father is deceased, of course, Saleha, the very well integrated with the Institute of Muslim Minority Affairs, and the very much the Muslim Brotherhood / Muslim Sisterhood. The infiltration that has come forth from the Clinton State Department, the Islamic infiltration that has occurred during and as a consequence of the Hillary Clinton State Department, the internal infiltration of our government and the infiltration of our local communities by Muslim Brotherhood operatives is now becoming more and more evident. And that, the reason I said that is to say this. What we saw, I believe, and this is based on my research and investigation, Joe's investigation and research, Eric's tremendous abilities to kind of get into places on the internet that I otherwise would not be able to, or we could not. The bottom line with this is we're going to be seeing more attacks like this. Now, lone wolf attacks, yes, but there's really no such thing as a lone wolf attack. There's always some level of either complicity, facilitation, or at least knowledge. having said that, watch for more of this. Now, in addition to that, watch for the violence of the progressives as well to increase. And it's interesting when we do investigations about the Muslim infiltration, as I had mentioned, in the United States, at the very same time, and it's almost like they're joined at the hip. There's the Muslim infiltration and the threat of Muslim violence against the non-Muslims in the United States that's rising, and consistent with that is the progressive violence, or the violence by the progressives. Now, we saw that manifest itself in the Alexandria, Virginia shooting, of course, last week. But equally, if not, well, equally important, and I don't want to understate the importance of that, but equally important is the coordination, the level of coordination, which mimics the Muslim Brotherhood coordination and such, is the level of coordination of groups like Antifa, Indivisible, and all of these other foot groups under the umbrella of larger groups like RevCom and Resist and such, these revolutionary communist groups. So we're seeing an increase in violence and the threat of violence. On the one side, the Islamic component, and on the other side, the progressive left component. And Mike Cernovich, I think, sent out a notice where riots by Antifa are being planned in Washington, D.C. today. There's rumors, there's murmurs, more appropriate, about potential violence taking place cities across the cities in the United States, sponsored by Antifa and groups operating in conjunction with Antifa. So, folks, keep your eyes out for this. In the United States, the rise, again, the rise in coordination and potential violence, as we see on the left, that's the progressive left, as well as the Islamic component that has been facilitated and fostered and allowed to fester within our government, as well as throughout the United States as well, and this applies to Canada too, equally. Now, Canada is a little bit different because the animus against the leadership there is not as great as it is in the United States. So this is what we're taking. This is what we're seeing right now. This is perhaps the headline that I would like to everyone to kind of walk away with. If you get nothing else, the domestic situation here in the United States is extremely volatile. Look at what's taking place in Europe and various countries there. That violence, you've got the Islamic component over there in Europe in various areas, and then you've got the political uprisings, the political issues. It's going to happen here, and watch for it anytime. I mean, anytime this weekend, and as the summer progresses, the threat is going to be much greater. So I wanted to lead off with that. We've got a great program lined up for you today. We've got Pastor Mike Spaulding coming in at the bottom of the hour. We're going to have Gerald Celeni weigh in on matters of economic matters. And, of course, to round out the program, Bill Salas talking about geopolitics and Middle Eastern affairs at the 8:30 hour. So that's the lineup for tonight. I would ask everyone listening to this broadcast, please support us. Please support our broadcast. We ask, we pray that you do. We thank you if you have. And if you're unable to do that, hey, spread the word about our broadcast. Post our broadcast on your social networking platforms. Follow us on social networking. We've got our own individual Twitter feeds. We have our own or our collective Twitter feed with Hagman Report. Same with Facebook. We ask that you join us. Come on board. So again, thank you so much for your support. It's number one. And number two, if you can't support us, then pray for us. And spread the word. Word of mouth is always good. We really appreciate that. And I want to thank, lastly, before I kick it over to Joe, I do want to thank Joe, of course, Eric, the tech, my daughter Jackie, John, the producer and program director, for all of their hard work. I think, folks, you can see that our program is stepping up a little bit. We have to step up because the times are changing, obviously. We are in a very precarious, I believe, a very precarious time in history, unlike any other time, and at least in modern times. And I see that we have some potential situations that will arise. The Joe, come on in, because I'm gonna ask you something here.
All right.
Donald Trump, you had mentioned something to me about James Comey today. And yeah. Now, in the context, and you can explain, we talked about that, of course, but my concern here is as I look out over the open source information that's available to everyone, but when you collate all of this yourself, or when you look at each individual open source bit of intelligence, you analyze this and put it against, weigh it against our own sources that we have developed, whether it's inside the media or inside the beltway, inside law enforcement, which we have. And then, of course, our own investigators out there, volunteer investigators who are infiltrating other networks, including but not limited to Antifa and other socialist communist causes. We're seeing, and I believe this to be the case, we're seeing the continued intent to delegitimize the president and the presidency, to delegitimize President Donald Trump, and to delegitimize the office of the presidency. And I think that this, well, not I think, based on the assessment, professional analysis, this is the ultimate objective, and that is to take down our government from within. And when I say from within, I'm talking about the Obama holdouts that continue to exist within our government to those recently discharged. And that brings me to what you were talking about earlier today, and that's James Comey.
Yeah, we got an email today, and somebody sent us an article to the Gateway Pundit, and I saw the email after I already saw the initial picture. Now, this is interesting. James Comey was spotted entering the New York Times office yesterday. There's a picture of him and his wife walking in the front door. The Daily Mail reported that the former FBI director Comey made a quiet visit to the New York Times, one of a few public outings since he's admitted leaking stories to the newspaper about President Trump. Comey, and it goes on to describe what he was. Now, there are some reports that he was attending some sort of benefit for abused children. I have not seen that verified, but interestingly enough, there's a story on the Daily Caller, you know, right on time from this afternoon, with ominous tweet, Comey Powell suggests bombshell story is soon to drop. A longtime friend of Comey is teasing what could be a bombshell story about the former FBI director and his interactions with President Trump. Benjamin Witz, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institute, posted an ominous message on Twitter on Friday, and with the words tick, 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 tick. Anyway, regardless if Comey's going to the newspapers to, you know, tell them whatever he's going to tell them, I put absolutely no credibility in anything he says. Anything he had that was a bombshell, he had more than one opportunity to explain that in his testimony, with his testimony. There has been nothing. So this is just more par for the course, what we've seen with the Washington Post, the New York Times, continuing to use anonymous sources to fabricate articles. So where will this come from, and will it have Comey's name on it? That's the real questions that I have here. But the again, Comey was spotted going into the New York Times building yesterday, and a few people caught him on camera, and some articles were written about him. It's really interesting. You were talking about the political violence. I'm not sure how many people saw this.
Yeah.
There's a Nebraska Democratic Party official whose name is Phil Montag. He is he's on the technology committee as a volunteer. He got caught on an open mic saying the following about Steve Scalise. His whole job is to get people, convince Republicans to, and there's a lot of swearing in here, I'm going to skip that obviously, to kick people off health care. I'm glad he got shot. I wish he died. I wish he was dead. The recording said he had to step away from his position as the tape was made public. And we see this. This is a, you know, the constant rhetoric of violence. Yesterday or 2 days ago, Johnny Depp made a joke. When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
That's right.
Now he is walking that back. On the
there is no walking that back, though, Joe, is
there? No, there's not. I actually was watching CNN this morning and saw the folks over there, you know, talk about how detestable this was and how terrible it was. I was kind of surprised. That's the first time I've actually seen them point out, you know, talk of assassinating the president or violence toward the president. Yep. and say it was not good. I guess that's
it's
terrible. It's,
right.
it's unfortunate.
Right.
This should never happen. But there's some interesting stories up on the front left of Drudge. 11th Hollywood star to imagine violence against Trump. And then they also go through 30 Republican congressmen attacked and threatened. And you can also get the recording of the Democratic official in Nebraska.
Did you know, speaking of the violence against President Donald Trump, did you know, I know I cut you off midstream there, but before I forget this, and perhaps maybe I'm the last person to really know this, MSNBC, Elise Jordan, two Republicans defending Trump is like hugging a suicide bomber. But here's the kicker, and maybe I'm the last human alive to really know this. Do you know that Elise Jordan, who said that, is the widow of Michael Hastings?
No.
All right. Does that surprise anyone out there?
A little bit.
Michael Hastings, Rolling Stone reporter, died in that horrific car, air quotes, accident. Elise Jordan, MSNBC, defending Donald Trump is like hugging a suicide bomber, a detestable thing to say, is the widow of Michael Hastings.
That's really interesting. I'm going to have to look more into that. And a kind of an interesting story. It's been on the front of Drudge all day. There's a number of other people that picked it up. I'd say it's pretty important. The Senate Judiciary Committee has asked the old Attorney General under Obama, Loretta Lynch, to respond to allegations of political interference in the FBI's email investigation into Hillary Clinton. And the inquiry was prompted by a series of media reports raising questions about whether Lynch tried to stifle the investigation into former Secretary of State Clinton's use of a private email server. A fired FBI director also suggested in a recent testimony in front of the Senate that Lynch sought to downplay the investigation. Now, I find this interesting. Will we see her be called to testify? And then if she is called, will she testify or will she plead the fifth or refuse like she did when probed about the Iran nuclear deal, where she said she was not going to
testify? The information, by the way,
testify.
I want to say this. What have we been getting, what I've been getting, is that there is an investigation that's under the radar right now of Loretta Lynch and of other people inside the Department of Justice. Now, this is in conjunction with the Inspector General and others. Now, will this go anywhere? I don't know. But Loretta Lynch, I believe, and it was told to me today, during a conversation with one source, Loretta Lynch, once people know what Loretta Lynch has done, it's going to make Eric Holder look like a choir boy.
Did you see Eric Holder announced that he was becoming part of the resistance and is inquiring about raising money to run for president in 2020?
I did see that.
Okay.
Now, how plausible is that?
No, it's from his own lips.
But I mean, how plausible would
be
20?
No.
You know, yeah, exactly.
I mean, he'd be lucky if he even made it to a Democratic primary. He's got no future in politics, at least in politics where you need to be elected,
right,
to do the job. I don't see any American voting for him. He would get smeared in a campaign. He was the only attorney general ever to be held in contempt of Congress. He's got all these different scandals that he was a part of, starting with Fast and Furious. He's been, you know, militant with his left politics, left-leaning politics, and the social justice movement. There's no way. He couldn't even win a local election, I don't believe. I'd be surprised if he did.
No, I would be as well. But nonetheless, the objective here is to take down the president, take down the presidency. And I make that distinction, because I think it's important. Obviously, the progressive communist left, they're after Donald Trump. They're after him personally. They're especially after the office of the presidency, to delegitimize that. And when you've got that level of resistance, as they call it, that level of fight, you're looking at really a third world country. This is what, in my view, this is what Obama put us on that fast track to this moment in time.
He's continuing to do so.
Yes.
Him and Hillary Clinton and others. I guarantee he probably is the source of some of these stories. Whether he is acting on intelligence he's still able to obtain through his connections or his holdovers. But I do believe that he is, at the tip of the spear, probably one of the only presidents in U.S. history to actively work against another president instead of just going out into the night quietly.
Yes.
He is actively starting political organizations. He's the head of the resistance. I believe he has a very tight relationship with many of the media, and he's feeding them these stories. I believe it's him and this think tank of media political conglomerates, people like Hillary Clinton, Eric Holder, those to a lesser degree, Valerie Jarrett. But I believe that these people are, they're one of the top levels of this Trump resistance, media attacking the president and the office of the president.
Well, and I think you mentioned Hillary Clinton. Don't forget the Clinton Foundation, and don't forget it takes money, for example, to really fund this resistance movement. Of course, people talk about George Soros. We understand that, but I wouldn't discount the impact the Clintons personally and through their foundation had, based, and that's my opinion, that it's significant. Now, don't forget Clinton, the 67th Secretary of State, from 09 to 13, during which time Bill Clinton had amassed a fortune, as did Hillary, through the foundation, not personally, of course, during her time in office as Secretary of State. But you're looking at the Clinton confirmed income from 2001 through 2012, which overlaps that period where she was Secretary of State, $136.5 million. Now, Bill Clinton personal net worth $55 million. 2001, upon leaving office, supposedly dead broke, the money that he has received, where has all this money gone? Certainly in their pockets, but it's my belief, professional, after some research, that a lot of this money that was generated under the Clinton Foundation has gone to fund this opposition research as well as the opposition itself. Go ahead.
We only got a few minutes left before the break. This is there's been some interesting developments in the USS Fitzgerald, the U.S. destroyer that was hit by a Philippinian freighter, and the reports that are coming out is that the freighter that hit the destroyer was on autopilot when it hit the Fitzgerald. Now, that's not the interesting part. The interesting part is the destroyer did not, no alarms or sirens went off. They did not detect this freighter coming, which you have to ask the question now. And even a few of these articles that I've read are asking the question, was this the result of a hack that...
Or sabotage, yeah.
That messed with the destroyer's ability? Because, I've been looking into this all week, little by little, and from what I gather, there should be no way whatsoever that a ship should ever even get near as close as this did. They have multiple layers of security and technology for this, whether it's sonar or radar. and even a man, you know, on the top looking out at all times, or at least that's how it should be. So people are asking the question, was this computer system vulnerable to some kind of hack, or was there a malfunction? I don't know if we'll ever get the real answer from the Navy. I doubt we'll get the real answer from the Navy about that. They would never admit to being hacked or letting their systems fail because of some kind of malfunction or hack. But
Inspector,
you have
Mike
to ask a question, because
asked a question too yesterday.
It just doesn't make sense that in 2017, a U.S. destroyer, I don't know how much money they cost, I'm sure close to $1 billion, if not more, all the technology, the personnel, and yet this still happens without warning. So how does this happen? We don't know. Everybody was having an off day. Everybody was asleep. Who knows?
I would
lean more toward the possibility that somebody manipulated the computer system, because there are fail safes in there. If the first sensors don't work, they have backups for that. For all the systems to fail and detect nothing, that tells me that there's something more going on here. And from the Navy, we probably will not hear the truth. But it's something to continue to look into and research, because 7 American sailors died that day. And there has been no accountability. So we will continue to dig into that. When we come back, Dr. Mike Spaulding will be our guest. His website is SoaringEagleRadio.com. And we're going to get into some current events as well as some other topics. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to this edition of the Hagmann Report.
Visit HagmannReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagmann. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagmann takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmannandHagmann.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
segue into that.
Okay.
Very pretty good.
Welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our guest, Pastor Mike Spaulding, Soaring Eagle Radio. Soaring Eagle Radio, DrMikeSpaulding.com as well. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. This segment is going to be extremely important because the problem or the topic is going to address the larger problem in America. With respect to the condemnation of the conservative right. This is going to knock your socks off. Before we get to Joe, just one second. I want to remind everyone, the anchor woman who had said that defending President Donald Trump was like hugging a suicide bomber, because this was news to me until I spoke with Peter Chowka today, was he reminded me or stated that Elise Jordan, MSNBC anchor, is the widow of Michael Hastings. Now let that sink in. Okay, I just want to remind everyone, if you missed that at the beginning of the program, Joe, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yeah, this quick word from one of our sponsors, PortableSolarLLC.com. Solar Arc. Portable Solar is a veteran-owned Christian company with the mission of helping families be less dependent on our vulnerable grid in an affordable way. They have no salespeople, and you get to talk to an engineer when trying to decide what type of system you need. Portable Solar was judged the most well-thought-out solar generator on the market in 2016. It provides minimal installation in hours. They empower homeowners to set up the system without professional installation, saving them thousands of dollars. You also get a 30% tax credit from the IRS during the year for using the solar generator. A grid or generator input with internal automatic transfer switch. You get the optional built-in solar panels, and this is a great product. You get the base, and you can put in as many solar panels as you want to run as much as you can outside of the regular electric grid. And this is a great product when you think of some of the trouble we could run into when we talk about energy alternatives and other types of energy that you can use outside of the electric grid. The portable solar generator is fantastic, and we're going to have Belinda back on in the near future. They were on once before, but we're going to do it again. So you know, stay tuned for that. The website is PortableSolarLLC.com.
Because this is EMP proof, and this is a solution to many people's
yes.
problems.
It's lightning. It has lightning and EMP protection.
It's fantastic, and we love this product. I was not a big solar fan, but let me tell you something. This PortableSolarLLC.com is really the place to go. Visit that website. Pastor Mike Spaulding, Soaring Eagle Radio. Pastor Mike Spaulding, Dr. Spaulding, welcome to the Hagman & Hagman Report. We've got a lot to talk about, don't we?
We do, Doug and Joe, and thank you so much for the invitation to come back on. It's always a joy and a pleasure to chat with you guys.
Well, it's a pleasure to speak with you. We've seen some things happen this week, this month. Well, we've seen some things happen. The condemnation, essential condemnation of the conservatives by the evangelical community, by Christians. What's going on?
Yeah, that was my thought exactly, Doug, when I read this article. I had to stop, and not much causes me to pause anymore because there's so much stupidity out there. Just when you think you've seen it all, this article pops up, and it was about the Southern Baptist Convention holding their annual meeting. This was last week, and I actually saw this article was on the Christian Post. Now, for those of you who get information from the Christian Post, you need to understand they're a little left-leaning in the reporting, but this fit their narrative, so I understand why they posted it. But there was a resolution, Doug, and I'm sure that some of your listeners and watchers, they may be part of a Southern Baptist church, and perhaps they're not aware of this, but there's a resolution that was brought to the floor. And I actually wrote an article on this addressing the misconceptions and really described how alarmed I was that the perception of the alt-right media, and when I say alt-right, that's the alternative media. Now, the alt-right is used by the liberal mainstream media as a term of denigration. They don't use it in a flattering way. And this article that I found in the Christian Post dealing with this resolution just proved the point. So let me read what the Christian Post writer wrote.
All right.
Then I'll read you the resolution, or at least two of the it resolves of the resolution, and then you understand what I'm talking about. So this Christian Post writer, Michael Grabowski, in his write-up about the resolution, he said, and this is a quote, "The alt-right is a political movement generally associated with white nationalism and known for launching intense attacks on ideological enemies on social media." Now, that got me a little disturbed, but when I read the resolution, here's the resolution. Quote, "There has arisen in the United States a growing menace to the political order and justice that seeks to reignite social animosities, reverse improvements in race relations, divide our people, and foment hatred, classism, and ethnic cleansing," end quote. And I have to tell you, Doug and Joe, when I read it, I thought, yeah, you've just perfectly described the 8-year reign of terror known as the Obama administration. But that wasn't what he meant. So he continues on with the resolution. He's then, quote, "This toxic menace, self-identified among some of its chief proponents as white nationalism and the alt-right, must be opposed for the totalitarian impulses, xenophobic biases, and bigoted ideologies that infect the minds and actions of its violent disciplines." Now, Doug and Joe, the Southern Baptist Convention is the largest Protestant, evangelical, and still on the conservative side of things, denomination in America. And for them to entertain a resolution such as this shows a very high level of ignorance. It shows a high level of deception, that they don't understand what the alt-right is, first of all, by trying to tie it to racism, white supremacist, because that isn't it at all. And it tells me, and by the way, I didn't state this in the article, but the resolution received 58% approval. It only needed 66 to be passed, so it wasn't far from being adopted as a resolution of the convention as a whole. That was alarming to me, and this is why. Because it's people like you, Doug and Joe, the Hagman & Hagman Report, it's people like Skywatch TV, it's people like Dave Hodges and Common Sense, and you know, we could go on and on and on. You know the list. You are the people, the so-called alt-right, that forces the mainstream media every once in a while to tell the truth, because they know that you guys are going to be all over it and you're going to have the truth out there. And so what's happening in America today, and this is just a microcosm of the problem, is that Christians sitting in churches are paying attention and believing what CNN is spoon-feeding them, what all the major alphabet networks are feeding them, and they're believing that it's true. Now, that should be alarming for Christians that are awake and understand what's going on in our nation today and really all across the world. When we talk about the deep state, when we talk about the global elitists, when we talk about shadow government, all of these things are real, and we see those manifestations and the machinations of all of that playing out all over the headlines. And yet we have the largest denomination trying to condemn what we're doing as being truth tellers. Now, this is a point that I made in the article, and I've talked to several people since then about it, Doug and Joe, and that is this. I believe that Christians, all Christians, should be part of the alt-right. And what I mean by that is we should be seeking to discover truth wherever it's at, wherever it leads us, and we should be standing on that truth. We should be exposing evil wherever it's at. Christians should not be concerned about R's and D's. We've got to get past this shenanigans that the politicians have pulled on us for all of these years has really divided us. We've got to get past that. Christians of all people, Doug and Joe, should be focused on what is the truth and then exposing that and let the chips fall where they may.
No, Pastor Spaulding, you're exactly right. And, you know, one thing that's interesting, I didn't even know about this this resolution until you just mentioned it. And the person who authored it, there's an article on Raw Story, pastor who introduced Southern Baptist resolution against the alt-right is shocked it wasn't a slam dunk. And they go on to talk about how they're going to rewrite, write up a different way to go about this. But, you know, one thing that's frustrating about, you know, when we get into the politics and the alt-right and Democrats and Republicans is the perception that the left has thrown onto the right or alt-right. It's that, you know, that somehow there is this white supremacy, this overbearing racism that's a part of it, yeah. Which is absolutely not true. And we see this in, you know, with a lot now in society, especially in the colleges and whatnot. If you don't wholeheartedly agree with these people's agenda, you're the hater, you're the racist. Not because you're a racist, just because you don't agree with everything these people say. And it's right. It's intellectually dishonest for these people to do this, but they have no arguments in fact, so I guess this is what they resort to.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, we could explore why that is. How did the snowflake generation even come up? How do we get to a place where the largest Protestant evangelical denomination doesn't even understand who the truth tellers are in America? They're looking at CNN, they're looking at the ABC networks, and they're thinking that's truth. That's just an astounding thing to consider. How did we get to that place? Well, if you want to go into a historic discourse, it's called political correctness, or more appropriately, cultural Marxism. It's progressivism. It's leftist, elitist globalism. And essentially what it does, I define it or describe it as a cancer. That kind of thinking and ideology is really a cancer, and it eats away at your brain. It leaves you unable to think critically. You're not able to evaluate data. You're not able to understand what you see with your own eyes. But instead, you're like a zombie. You just take the data in that they're feeding you, and you believe everything they say. And it's time, Doug and Joe, for people in America to wake up. And that's one reason I appreciate you guys and what you're doing, as well as many others. And I just encourage folks, you need to spread this around. Where can you get real news? Well, you can get it on the Hagman and Hagman Report. You can get it on the Common Sense Show. You can get it in a lot of places, but it isn't on your television. Turn that sucker off.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, we've been talking about this night after night. It seems like the disconnect from the truth that the mainstream media, how they're so far gone, and they continue to double down and double down. They just don't get it. That the American people, for the most part, either don't care or they see directly through their lies. That's why the media's, you know, approval rating is just about as low as Congress, if not lower. I mean, they continue to press forward, but they'll never be bankrupt because this is a mechanism of control that these people use as the media outlets. And even if nobody watched them, they would have full funding to be able to move forward and continue to do what they're doing. But a lot of people are tuning them out. And, you know, the special elections, people say, is an indicator of that. But they've done all this against Trump and the truth and making, you know, the agenda to restore America with American constitutional principles. They labeled that as, you know, hate speech, as the enemy, as something that's bad. And I don't think the American people, the average working American person, they must just snicker when they see that because it's ridiculous. But, you know,
that's why it's so important, Joe, that us in the alt-right, I consider myself part of the alt-right. I'm a born-again, blood-bought believer, a pastor of a small flock here in Ohio. I believe it's our responsibility. And in fact, it's a right, but it's our responsibility. It's our privilege in this nation to continue to press the truth, not to back down. And folks, listen. We've got to be pushing back against the darkness. It's the time to be nice. It's over. It's long over. It's time to stand up, armor up, Ephesians chapter 6, put your full armor on, and get into the battle. You need to start pushing back on the lies that we see. Now, you talk about doubling down, Joe. There was something else that happened recently. It's very disturbing to me. And it involved a well-known evangelical Protestant Bible teacher by the name of James White. Now, I don't know that if you're familiar with that or not, but he created quite a firestorm.
Oh, yeah.
Recently,
Okay, then.
Yeah, then you know. Yeah, you know. Well, I had, by the way, you guys had Bill Warner on last week, I believe, Dr. Bill Warner, Political Islam.
Yep.
I talked to him last night. I had him on Soaring Eagle Radio last night, and his response to, because he hadn't heard about the whole White fiasco, and his response to it, when I mentioned the imam's name, he said, "What?" He couldn't believe it. So anyway, if you don't mind, what I've done is I constructed, and I'm going to release this article.
Pastor, I just want to interject one thing here.
Sure.
I've got a personal Twitter account. It's Hagman PI. Okay.
Yes.
And I had extended an invitation to Dr. James White. This is for people. This is kind of to preface what you're going to say. I have extended an invitation to Dr. James White on a number of different occasions to come on our program. We offer our platform to discuss what you're about to say, you know, what you're about to describe with a couple of Muslim scholars, and he has declined. So in that context, in that shadow. And by the way, I've just been getting deluged with all sorts of hate email by the followers of this man, saying that but go ahead. I just want to make sure people understood the context in which I sent those tweets. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So he created quite a firestorm. He invited and again, Joe, talk about doubling down, and Doug, that was perfect, cause I didn't know if he was still standing in his, so that explains a lot to me. But he invited an imam to join him for a so-called interfaith dialogue in a Christian church, and I believe it was in Memphis, and of course that's where, Brandon is at. So he had this imam in the church. Now, what's amazing about that, and when I mentioned the imam's name to Bill Warner, he couldn't believe it. And you know, Bill's kind of a laid back guy, got a very dry sense of humor. But I didn't see him; it was audio only. But I imagine he sat right up in his chair and he said, "What?" Because the imam's name was Yasser Qadhi. Now, this imam, he is a notorious jihadi imam, preacher of hate. He's part of the Muslim Brotherhood, Doug and Joe. And James White brought him into a church and talked all this flowery stuff about Islam and how we needed to have conversation and reach a mutual understanding. And I thought, you have got to be kidding me. It's just amazing that somebody of James White's stature in the academic community would do something such as this. So what I did in the last day and a half is I put together 11 questions for James White. Would it be okay in what time I've got left to just ask those questions?
Absolutely, and I think that would clear some things up, yes.
Okay. Well, question number one is to Mr. White and apparently to his supporters, do you understand that the Quran cannot be understood in isolation from the Sirah and the Hadith? Now, the Sirah, the Hadith, and the Quran form what is called the Islamic Trilogy. Allah is found in the Quran, Muhammad is found in the Sirah, which is his biography, and the Hadith are the traditions surrounding the life of Muhammad. So all of Islam is based on those three books. You can't just go to the Quran. You'll never be able to understand Islam if you just read the Quran. It's impossible. And Dr. Warner says that's intentional. They are very confusing to understand, and there's a reason for that. So that's the first question. Do you understand the Quran the Hadith and the Sirah, because James White, if you do, there is no way that you could invite an imam into a Christian church for a interfaith dialogue. Second question, do you understand that Islam is based on dualism? Western logic is based upon the law of non-contradiction. If two things contradict, then at least one of them are false. They can't both be true at the same time in the same context. But that's not true of Islam. Islamic logic is dualistic. Two things can contradict each other and both are true. And that's why they can lie through their teeth if it advances Islam. And there's a doctrine specifically about lying to kafirs, which is what we are, by the way. Third question, and I don't want to run out of time, so I'm going to speed this up, guys. Third question, do you understand that this dualism within Islam allows for the slithering jihadi evil and the flower-carrying peaceful Muslim? It all depends on the circumstances. Fourth question, do you understand that the Middle East, Turkey, and Northern Africa were predominantly Christian until the rise of Islam? Do you understand that Christianity is based upon a unitary ethic, i.e. the Golden Rule, but that Islam has no such ethic? On the basis of the Golden Rule, the equality of human beings, we've created democracy, we've ended slavery, we treat women and men as political equals. So the Golden Rule is a unitarian ethic. All people should be treated the same. But do you understand, sixth question, that the term human being has no meaning in Islam? There's no such thing as humanity, only the duality of the believer and the unbeliever. Look at the ethical statements found in the Hadith. A Muslim should not lie, cheat, kill, or steal from other Muslims. But a Muslim may lie, deceive, or kill an unbeliever if it advances Islam. Now, somebody, you would think, somebody of Dr. White's intellectual acumen would know these things. Apparently doesn't. Question number seven, do you understand that there is no getting along or compromising with Islam? If you're in a business deal with someone who is a liar and a cheat, there is no way to avoid getting lied to and cheated. No matter how nice you are to a con man, he will take advantage of you. There is no compromise with dualistic ethics. In short, Islamic politics, ethics, and logic cannot be part of any free civilization. Islam does not assimilate, it dominates. Question eight, do you understand that historically speaking, Islam has murdered and enslaved millions of people to fund their continued jihad against other nations and peoples? Do you understand that this murder and enslavement continues to this very day? Do you understand that Islam prescribes this practice of conquest and enslavement right down to the very specific allowance of sex slaves? Do you understand the tragedy of sexual trafficking, human trafficking? Islam is one of the major players in human trafficking. And yet we're going to make nice with these people? I don't think so, guys. Number nine, do you understand that jihadi conquest and subjugation of other nations and people is built into the very fabric of what Islam is? 10, do you understand that to the Muslim who practices true Islam, you are destined for hell and should be treated as such, James White? That's how they view you. Number 11, do you understand that multiculturalism and pluralism are cancers that Islam takes advantage of to destroy every host nation it affects? Now, I could go on and I could add a lot more commentary to all those things, Doug and Joe, and there was a lot more commentary to that, but I think you get the point. James White is deceived.
And deceiving, and here's my problem that we have. Just like that resolution, calling the alt-right, pejoratively alt-right, evil. And
yes,
this itself is a microcosm, an yes. instance of a larger problem. And this is why it's so important. And this is not meant to be an attack on Dr. White. It's meant, for me, this is meant to wake people up and say, look, what you're hearing, at least in from all of the Islamic scholars we've had, what you are doing is deceiving, being deceived, as you had mentioned, but most importantly, deceiving those people who follow yeah. you. by listening to the wrong people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You have become a blind guide of the blind, as Jesus says. And listen, I'm not attacking James White either. I'm merely pointing out that what he did was unconscionable, and it's inexcusable, in my opinion, for a Christian of his academic and scholastic standing to not understand what Islam is, and to prove it by inviting a jihadi Muslim Brotherhood affiliated imam into that church to make nice. It defies reason and logic, Doug and Joe.
There's so much wrong with that, Pastor. You're exactly correct. And I want to thank you for the courage to point this out, because, my goodness, if just judging by the emails I've gotten, I know that you're putting yourself out there.
You know. Hey, you know what? You get thick skin after a while, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, indeed. But this is the problem in America, and I think that this, to our demise, to our peril, should we allow this to continue, or should this continue, right. We will be in a lot of trouble.
We will be, yeah.
Pastor Mike Spaulding, Soaring Eagle Radio. Visit the websites in the program description, linked off of HagmanReport.com. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
All right. Wow. Well, what a powerful information-packed segment. We'll be right back, folks. Stay right where you're at. Network break.